Like I said this morning, I'd rather be in the house of God than in the best prison in Alabama. So if you're here, you're doing better than some. Thank y'all so much for y'all's kindness to us and just everything to do with being here. We enjoy it. We love it. And so if you got your Bible this morning, turn to Romans 12. I'm not one much for jokes because I like jokes. I just can't tell them very well. So we'll stay away from that. I've got a lot of reading to do this morning on this. Just bear with me. Just listen purposely. And I will try to get done as quickly as the Lord will allow me to be. Mr. Dillon, though, graduating high school. This message, if you will listen to this message and you'll apply it in your life, you'll be happier doing this than anything in your life. I promise. And it's not because Brother Will's opinion, it's because the Bible clearly states it. So I'm glad to have a senior here this morning to be able to give this message to. But this message is not just for him, it's for us all. So dear Heavenly Father, I thank you so much this day, Lord. Dear Lord, I just thank you for allowing us to be here, Lord. I thank you for Mr. Dillon, Lord, finishing out school, Lord, and being able to graduate. Lord, I pray that he would just allow you to use him, Lord, and do whatever you'd have him to do, no matter what that may be, Lord. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that you would just empty me of me this morning, Lord. Fill me with your Holy Spirit, Lord. I pray that you'd help me not to preach opinion, but what thus saith the Lord, and just, Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit would move amongst us. In Jesus' holy name I pray, amen. Romans chapter 12, we're going to read the first eight verses. It says, in verse 1, it says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. Or ministry, let us wait on our ministry. Or he that teacheth on teaching. Or he that exhorteth on exhortation. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence. He that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Now this morning I told y'all, I'm not much on titling them, but this one has got a title. I'm really focused in on verse 5. And it says, so we being many are one body in Christ, and every one members of another. Now, don't let this piece of scripture slide from your mind, because we're going to come back to it. But if you will, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and I've got quite a good bit of scripture right here to read. Now, the title though, and yes, I understand that y'all are probably like, this guy's a goofball. He brought a stick, he brings Play-Doh, he brings keys to preach with. I like a visual. I like to be able to see things. Because I can remember coming up and seeing preachers who would show you the things. They stuck in my mind. Even as a kid, I can remember things as a kid. But the title of this message is A Key in Christ's Hand. And Mr. Dillon, this isn't just for you. This is for all the younger people. This is for all the older people. This is for everybody in this room. And anybody who's going to hear this over the recording. Now, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we're going to start in verse 12. And verse 12 says, for as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, which is kind of hilarious to think about, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet but one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of thee. Nay, much more, those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor. And our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to the part which lacked. That there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. And God hath set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after the miracles, then gifts of the healing, helps, governments, diversity of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Have all the gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way. Now, is a toe a body? Because if you, we live down, because back where we live now is, there's no deer hunting, and it really bothers me, because there's a lot of preaching you can do with deer hunting, but this ain't really one of those, but I'm going to use it anyways. When a dog drags up a deer leg from your neighbor's house, they got left out. Anybody ever had that happen? Yeah, I've had deer legs from everywhere. I don't know where they come from, but they come from somewhere. You don't say, man, that stupid dog drug up the whole body of a deer. You say, man, was somebody going to throw that deer leg out? Because what, it's not the whole body, right? And a toe is not the whole body. That would look kind of goofy. Just a big old toe just walking around. Now, you think about it, and I know this is silly. It's not exactly something that you would really think I'd be talking about toes and deer legs. But can you walk without your legs? Can you hear without your ears? Just think about they could roll pretty good ways if they ain't got no legs. Now, I'm not trying to be unkind. Please don't take that away. I understand people have things happen. I'm not, by no means, please don't take me that away. I am a jerk, but not in that way. But you got to have the right parts to do the right job. That's just how it works. Because I can't decide that I want to taste this table and do this right here and taste it with my finger. I would have to use a certain part of my body, which would be my tongue. Now the title was Keys in Christ's Hand. Who in here has a V8 in their vehicle? We got two VAs, three VAs, four, five. We got V8s in here. Do you know what? My van does not have a V8. Do I want it to have a V8? I would love for it to have a V8, yes. But just because I want to have a V8, and I go put this key in your truck, brother, it's not going to do nothing. And see, we get to where we have, because if you'll notice when he said the gifts, he said help. One of them was help. Just a simple help. But because we think that we're not the preacher, or we think because we're not the song leader, or we think we're not the piano player, that we're not really anything much for the church. But God says the uncomely become comely, because he has set every piece out. Now turn back to Romans 12, and we'll get into this. This is the notes. It looks like a lot, but it's not. I promise. Okay, I've got to get a new laptop because I can't hardly read this. I get excited, but I'm wanting to understand, and I'm wanting to specifically and especially to Mr. Dillon, knowing he's about to take his next step. Because the day you graduate, Mr. Dillon, time speeds up by 2. And I promise that. And the day you have kids, speeds up by 10. And it don't slow up. So I really hope that you'll listen this morning, Mr. Dillon. And I hope that you'll take this, because this next step is a big one. This next step can set you up or bring you down for the rest of your life. And it's not easy decisions to make, but we're going to go through this and we're going to, we'll just get into it. How about that? So, in verse 1 of chapter 12 in Romans, it says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Now, the definition for sacrifice, I told you I'm big on definitions, I'm big on vocabulary, because to know the definition of a word is to know the meaning of the scripture. She acts like her mama, that's why she's doing that. Thank you, Liam. Opened that door, didn't I? So, definition of sacrifice. Because it says, present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Sacrifice means to kill or to destroy. That kind of don't make a lot of sense. Because it says, your body's a living sacrifice. All right, so you want me to be living but kill myself? I don't really get it. But see, this is what he's saying. He's not saying to kill yourself. My God's against that. Just the same as he is against killing babies, just the same as he's killing all this, what he is saying, because mom and daddies, you need to understand this part, is that what we have to do is we're not sacrificing our children. We're not sacrificing our life, Mr. Dillon. What we're doing is we're sacrificing our will for our life. Because do you have anything? What's your plans? You going to college? What are you going to go for? Okay, what if God doesn't want that? Would you be willing to not go? See, that's the kind of sacrifice he's talking about. He's talking about, you know what, Mr. Dillon? I'm going to pretend to be Lord, okay, the Lord right now. Mr. Dillon, instead of you going to be a, what did you say again? I'm sorry.
Industrial electronics.
That one. Instead of doing that, I'd prefer you to clean ditches. Now, Mama is like, that ain't good money. I know how my wife works too. But I can promise you right now that if that's what he wants you to do and that's what you do, you'll be better in that spot than you will be making money hand over fist anywhere else. Brother Will don't tell you this because Brother Will's heard this. Brother Will don't tell you this because Brother Will reads this. Brother Will tells you this because he's lived it. I've had good jobs, good money, and I'm happier now, making less than I've ever made in my life. And I am more blessed now than I've ever been in my life because I was willing to say, it's not my will but yours. Now this is what I want to get across to everybody though. Not just to Mr. Dillon. And I'm kind of singling you out. I'm sorry about that. But you need this. To live a happy and blessed life only happens one way. That is to give your will over to God's. Because I can promise you, where I am now is never where I ever would have thought I'd have been. I honestly can't even remember my old will of what I wanted to do. I can't. Because now all I want to do is preach His Word and live for Him. That's it. The Bible talks about He'll give you the desires of your heart. You give your will to God, and God's will will become the desire of your heart. Now, we're going to keep going. We're going to go through these verses. I know I'm taking time on certain ones, but it says to kill or to destroy. It says, present your bodies a living sacrifice. Sacrifice means to destroy it, to destroy your will. Now, this is what's even funnier, because God doesn't just leave it there. He says, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Reasonable means not excessive and not unjust. So if you say, let's say that you want change for a dollar, Brother Cooper. That change can come in many ways, right? So you don't really want a penny, 100 pennies. But if I give you 100 pennies, I stay with our deal, right? So it wasn't excessive and it wasn't unjust. I did at least what I was supposed to. Do we remember what Christ did for us? Because his body was a sacrifice. But the other Mr. Dillon, we decide, even though Christ told us he paid for it, that I'm going to be this V6. Because God made me a V6. I'm going to stick this into a V8. Be what God made you to be. Because no matter how many times I try to put this V6 key into your V8, it ain't going to work. You know what normally happens when that happens? Has anybody ever put the key, wrong key? I've tried to open my house with this. You know, like, why in the world? That's obviously a car key. But has anybody ever snapped a key off? I had an old car that it was ugly. It was the old Buick LeSabre that was gold and rust colored, because it wasn't originally rust colored, it just ended up that way. I cranked it with a pocket knife because I snapped the key off too far to be able to get, and I was going to have to pay a lot of money to do it. You know what eventually happened to that pocket knife? I snapped the pocket knife. You know what happens when you stick the wrong key in the wrong hole? You snap the key. Or you bend the key. Or you mess up the key. I may be done with these, but I don't know. I'm going to keep them just in case. It's your reasonable service. You think it's too much for God to ask you that? Think it's too much? Because I can promise you, I would rather be a V8. Let's be honest. They just sound better. Stronger. Every piece about them I like, except the gas. But I'm perfectly fine with being a V6 as long as that's what God has for me. Because the problem is we want to go to a drag race and I got the keys to my V6 and I'm trying to drive your V8, I promise you I'm not going to win that drag race. But if the fool beside me has got his V6, wife's V6 van keys and his V8 truck, same way, he's not going nowhere. Do we get where I'm going now? I'm staying on this, I know, and it's a point to it. The Bible said that he has made you and put you in a specific spot to be a specific piece of the body. Nobody wants to be a pinky toe. But guess what? Somebody's got to be a pinky toe. Has anybody ever smashed their pinky toe? You don't even know your pinky toe's there until you smash the thing, and then it still makes you hobble. Well, guess what? This is the body of Christ. This is the church, and this is what it happens when one piece is hurt and injured and is not operating correctly, and it makes us have to limp. You know what? You can't. You ever seen a running back limp like this when he gets on the field and he actually be a good running back? He gets tackled every time because he's limping because he's hurt. Just the same way that me trying to crank your V8, my V6 does nothing. That's what a life that's not in place like it's supposed to be does. Let's keep going. Verse 2. It says, "Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove that which is good and acceptable and perfect will of God." To conform is to fashion alike. That is to conform to the same pattern. To look like everything else. To be like everything else. To be like this world. You're not going to be much for God if you look just like the world. You talk just like the world. You act just like the world. It's not going to be anything that God, don't get me wrong, God can do whatever he wants. But God's not going to use you. How about that? It's not that he can't, he just won't. This is where we start getting in. God didn't ask you to kill yourself. or to kill your kids, or to kill anything in that manner. He's asking you to kill your will so he can put you in the right keyhole. Because see, this is where I think that we kind of mess ourselves up, because we'll get into it even more in just a second. But we kind of act like God makes blank keys, and then later on he etches them in. That ain't how God works. God made the specific key to fit the specific hole. At the specific time, it was supposed to be put in. The crazy thing. All right, so in high school, I was decent at football, had scholarships, had all this stuff that I was going to do. And I got into a wreck my senior year, right before playoffs. When I got to the hospital, I had a 6% chance to live. Six. I got tore up from here to there. I was demolished. Shattered my pelvis in four places. Tore my diaphragm completely off. All my guts are in my chest. My small intestine wrapped around my left lung collapsed it. Cracked my skull front to back. Tore my urethra in three places. That's the greatest blessing I've ever had in my life. I hurt every day of my life. For the past 10 years of my life, 11 years now, well, almost 11 years, I have hurt every stinking day. But you want to know something funny about it? Right before this happened, I wanted to get to bench press over 300. So I started juicing up with some protein shakes. I started working out heavy. I wanted to get over 200 pounds. I wanted to get more scholarships. I wanted to get more sight from the colleges. And the doctors told me that if I would have been 10 pounds lighter the day I wrecked, 10 pounds less muscle, brother, died on impact. See, we think that God has us as a blank key. But God has us set up for a specific time. If it would have been any other time in my life, brother, I'd have died. And I got off on that to help and explain that, was that always God's will for me? Maybe not. It might have been that Will would have done right and did what he was supposed to. That never would have happened. But see, God only had one keyhole for me to fit in. So you know what happened, Mr. Dillon? He had to level my big-headed self so that this key would go into the right car. You don't have to have that. You don't have to make him level you. And we'll get into it here in the next verse or so. Because you're a guy, so you got a pride issue. You already know that. It just happens. We just naturally have it. Doesn't mean it's right at all. But the Bible even talks about it here in the next verses about you fitting in the right keyhole. From birth, God designs us to fit in a certain spot. He's got the specific will for your life. You will only be happy, you will only be blessed in this specific will. Just like a specific key only matches a specific hole, it's the same with a person and God's will. He has a specific place for you. Now in verse 3, it says, "For I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself," here we go about that pride, "more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith." Mr. Dillon, why did you not try out for starting tight end for the Patriots? You definitely ain't got the size, I'm just saying. You ain't got the beefiness of it. I mean, them dudes, they some beasts out there. You, if you would have went and tried out, those linemen are like choo-choo trains. They can run like a 4.8 and they're almost 400 pounds. They're moving. You would have gotten killed on the first shot. And we laugh and snicker about that. But man, do we think highly of ourselves. I know this. I deserve. That's what you could have done. I had boys that played with us, played baseball. They never stepped foot on the field. They sat on the bench the entire time. And they were going to play pro baseball. I'm like, how in the world do you think that's going to happen? Like, where's that going to swap up? They thought so highly of themselves. And you sit the bench. What? How in the world? But we do that. We think, oh, that's silly. He's an idiot. He's over there sitting the bench for Jackson Academy. And he thinks he's going to go pro baseball? No. It ain't going to happen. But see, what happens is we sit here and we think so highly of ourselves, of what we are. Man, I have an issue. I have such issues with pride. I have to beat myself to death just about it to not say something. Because I don't mind being honest with y'all. That's how I am. And I have to fight it. And you ask my wife, it's a lot better than it used to be. But the word soberly means clearly. It says not to think of yourself more highly than you ought to, but to think soberly. Do you know what I am? I'm a sinner. Because I stand up there, it doesn't make me any different. And just like we were talking about cleaning out ditches, for you to think that you're too good to do that, I'm not saying you do or you will, I'm just saying. And you think of yourself very highly when our Lord and Savior washed the feet of His very apostles. We don't like to think of it this way. Because this really does get against our pride. And I may not be getting it across clearly. But this really gets in our pride. I don't deserve to have to do that. But Jesus washed the feet of His apostles. He's the Son of God. What makes you any stinking better? That's my heart, is that I am a servant first at everything. Because the word minister means to be a servant. And I am to serve. Now, I want to keep, we gotta keep going. I've prolonged this, and I apologize. I have not meant to get this long on it. So, it's only by grace that I can think the way that I do now because of my pride. But where do we come from? What is our beginning? Our beginning is God created us. And I just, for some odd reason, think that He knows the exact hole you go in, and that's what He wants for you. Are we willing to be a pinky toe? Or do we have to be the hand? Hand's a pretty good and useful thing, right? Verse 4 and 5, it says, "For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we being many are one body in Christ, and everyone members one of another." I'm tired of seeing people who want to, think of how to word this correctly to not be offensive, because I know everyone gets offended by everything now. I'm not happy. I have family members that they are never happy. And I know people who are always, well, everything goes good for you, but for me, nothing works out. Let me explain. I am trying my best and hardest, and I fail, but I am trying my best and my hardest to follow God no matter where that is. And so you know what that means? That my key is fitting in the right hole. So that means the truck's going to crank. But everybody wants to, oh, it's just all works out for you. No, there's a stinking reason why. Because if you will sacrifice, be a living sacrifice, that the word living, that is an active word. That doesn't mean it lived. It doesn't mean it will live. It means it is living now. So that means to be actively killing your will. It happens every day. This has been a long drawn out one. And I get that. Don't get me wrong. I understand when they are. But what I'm really trying to get across is that we are a key in God's hands. And if we're going to sit here and say that our will is more important because we think so highly of us, we think that that electrician thing that you said, whatever that was, I can't remember it again, I apologize, is better than digging a ditch. But God said to dig the ditch. Then we're thinking of ourselves too highly. And Dylan, you'll never be happy doing it if that's not what God wants you to do. And some people are like, well, I'm too old to have to worry about it. No, you're not. Because the Bible says, I die daily. Is that really what we're doing? Are we really allowing God to be in the keys of our hand? Are we allowing us to be in God's hand and put us wherever we are? Because did you hear the story that I told about the wreck? Do you want that? No, you don't. Nobody in their right mind would want that. I would take it 10 times over if it meant getting where I am now. Well, I shouldn't have to suffer. I've been. Who are you? What did Jesus take? That's my role model. That's the one I look for. That's who I look to. But see, we're so comfortable and we think of ourselves so highly that we take comfort and ease over blessings. I'll take the blessing. I'll take the peace of God more than anything else. I'll take this beautiful woman that God gave me compared to what I would have had if He hadn't have intervened in my life and allowed me to go up against 3 trees with a pickup truck. Put the key down. Say, God, whatever you want to do with it, do it. Let me tell you something, mom and daddies. If you've never done that, you get up here and do it this morning and find out just how hard that is. To say they're yours. My kids, my family, they're yours. Every time I've ever done it, brother, I have squalled my eyes out. Because it's scary not having them in my hand. But do you know what I've learned? Is that in my hand, they will be messed up. They will not be blessed. But in God's hand, it may take a wreck. It may take 6% chance to live when he gets to the hospital. That's 94% chance to die. I think that math is correct. I'm not good at math. Was it fun, Mama? What, Daddy? Was it fun for you to see me go through that? But would you take it back? It ain't a game. And it ain't easy. Nothing that's easy has ever been worth it.
That's right. Amen.
Mama, Daddy, Dylan. Dylan, you know what? That little sister beside you is watching you. And if she can watch you turn on for God and turn the keys over in His hand and say, whatever it is your will is, God, and watch you get blessed, then you will make an imprint on her to say, my brother did it, I can do it too. But it takes you giving the keys to God. That's all of us. Every one of us has to be willing to do that. Mom and daddies, if you've never done that, I suggest this altar this morning. I've done it multiple times. I don't even know how many times I've done that. This place right here, we're praying about this, brother. I've had to do it so many times. Because you know what I really would love to have to happen? I'd love to come and preach one time, and y'all be like, oh, well, we're going to vote you in. That's it. We're good. That would have been what I would have wanted. But guess what? That's not God's timing, and that's not God's will. I'm not saying it's not God's will for me to be here, but I'm saying, like, at that time, it wasn't. You know how hard that is to say, but it's your timing, Lord? I don't care how silly I look. I will be honest with you on everything. That's what I desired. And it taking time has been me chomping at the bit. I'm just like, oh, we got to go. We got to run. We got to do something. And it's not been easy. But when I finally, because this was it, I gave my family to him with it. I was like, Lord, if that's where you want them, then that's where we have. My wife, my money, everything. Lord, it's all yours. I did not give the timing to him, though. And I had a deadline for the Lord. And the Lord was like, that's not my timing. And then when I did, I was just flustered inside me. Now, hey, I'm good to go. Because I gave my timing to God. And when he's ready for me to know, he'll let me know. You want true peace about your future? That's what you'll do, Dylan. So this morning, parents, husbands, wives, mamas, daddies, sisters, brothers, what are you holding on to? What key are you trying to put in the wrong ignition? Because if it was me, because I'm about to get on this altar, because there's still pieces of my life that I haven't given all the way, and I still try to hold that stinking key. You know how stupid I am, brother, to do that still? After I've seen work so much, amazing ways? Sister, if you wouldn't mind playing whatever they call that, I can't remember. Play that, please. The altar's open. The invitation's open. I'm going to start off praying, but I'm going to get on the altar after I pray to start open it up. Dear Lord, I thank you for this message. Lord, I thank you for these people being here, Lord, being willing to sit through and just listen, Lord. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us. Lord, I pray that you'd help us so much, Lord, just to give everything to you. Lord, to understand you're the maker. You created us, Lord, and that you have a perfect will for us, and you just want to bless us, and you just want us to be happy. Lord, I pray that you'd help us just to give it over to you this morning. In Jesus' name I pray. Altars are open.